Would open your Bibles, grab them, and open them to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. A number of years ago, I was preaching a sermon, and in the text was something about murder. And I lightly passed over it, and I made a comment such as this. Well, you know, there's not many murderers among us. And everybody laughed. It's the only time that I've been texted in the middle of a sermon. Good thing I had my silent on. I later read that text and it both broke my heart and arrested me. The text simply said this, "But I have murdered twice. Two of my own babies have I murdered in the womb." And I realized from that how easy it is to sometimes take for granted and kind of stereotypically call something what it is and brush over it lightly. In doing so, there might be many who lose the opportunity for grace where grace is needed in their heart. Why do I say that? Because we come to this passage on stealing. And we think, well, what does that have to do? Of course, there probably aren't those who steal among us. But this passage is about a lot more. It's about not stealing, but it's about working hard. And it's about giving. And ultimately, it's really about trusting in God. So hear the word of the Lord. Apostle Paul says, "Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone who is in need." Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Open our eyes, Lord, and apply your word to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. I was in fifth grade. It was my first year in boarding school. And those of you who are going to school know nothing until you've been to boarding school. That's when life really begins to intersect. And I was in boarding school, and it was my first introduction to gummy bears. I had a roommate in boarding school who was from Germany. He was a German embassy kid, and he had wonderful gummy bears, whatever you want to call them. I know my children are laughing, from Germany. We used to have a feasting cupboard, and feastings were our snacks. It was a British term. And they were locked in a cupboard, and that was the first time I really realized that there were haves and have-nots. My snacks were cookies that my mom made that lasted maybe 2 weeks. And then there was the embassy kids. And they had chocolates and gummy bears. And they had licorice. And they had all of these wonderful snacks. And when the feasting cupboard was open, it became like a Turkish bazaar. You would trade cookies for gummy bears, whatever you could. They weren't going to give up their snacks that easy. But my friend, Jörg Schumacher, kept one bag of gummy bears out. And he let us taste them. And when he was gone, I stole some. And it's not really funny, because the conviction of the Spirit was heavy on my heart. I knew without a shadow of a doubt that I had sinned before the living God. And you might say, but it was just gummy bears. And you were just in fifth grade. See, we can make any number of justifications for stealing. Justice. It is unjust that Jörg Schumacher, as an embassy kid, had more and better snacks than me as a missionary kid. fairness. It wasn't fair that he got those and I didn't have them. So therefore, I could correct that fairness by taking from him. Entitlement. I was born to a missionary family. I never had the opportunity to even have those things, and so therefore, I have the right. It won't be missed. After all, 3, 4, 5 gummy bears, it's not really going to be missed. Youth. I was a young kid. I didn't know any better. And yet I broke the 8th command of God, thou shalt not steal. And in this passage, Paul turns to this very important reality as he talks about the one who let the thief no longer steal, but let him labor doing honest work with his own hands. And Paul begins this admonition with one of stealing, to stop stealing. And again, in our mind's eye, we think of it as a guy with a black mask and a black hood and black coming in through a window. And that's the stereotypical view, and maybe you've been there and done that, I don't know. Or maybe you haven't, and you just think, come on, can't we just pass this up? But there's many types of stealing and many sources for stealing, and I'm sure that if we actually allow ourselves to look at our lives, we will actually realize that we live in a culture that encourages stealing. And many of us inadvertently probably have stolen more than we think. What's the source of stealing? I want to suggest to you the first source of stealing is a failure to recognize the provision and the providence of God. What I have does not come from God, it comes from me. And you might say, well, that's an easy one, Pastor, but we often don't live our lives with an understanding of God's providence and his provision in our life. And what does that lead to? It leads to a lack of contentment. And I begin to look at my own circumstances and to look at the other people's circumstances, and I become less content because my eyes have lost focus on God, who has provided for all my needs. And lack of contentment leads to a lack of thanksgiving, and a lack of thanksgiving causes us to begin to question and to live as one who is entitled, because I deserve that as much as anybody else does. And so from that begins to be a failure to trust in God. And that's just the beginning, because it's at that point in time that we can begin to justify stealing. What is stealing? Stealing is taking without permission or knowledge from someone else something of value to them and us. And stealing can come in any number of different ways. We can steal money and possessions. The obvious is burglary, auto theft, purse snatching, mugging. Stealing can happen in many ways. Some of you inadvertently, I bet, have shoplifted at some point in time. Just a candy bar. After all, you know, the big companies, they don't really need those profits. It's not really that bad. Borrowing something and not returning it till you literally forget whose it is and you keep it. Finding something that you can clearly return, a wallet, and choosing not to for your own benefit. We found some money in the sanctuary last week, and it was in the middle of the pews, and it wasn't intended, obviously, for the offering plate. And we sent out a message saying somebody lost some money, right? I wasn't going to put it in the offering plate because I don't believe that that was the intention, not that that whatever that might be, and somebody had saved that money to send to Africa and had left it inadvertently, a visitor actually. And they were so relieved to be able to have that to send back to their family in Africa. Cheating somebody out of a fair price because of their ignorance. You go to a sale, you say, well, they put the wrong price on that, and I'm going to take advantage of that, and I'm not going to tell them. Or stealing can be intellectual property, another person's ideas, another person's words, plagiarism. How about this one? Stealing can be accepting credit when it truly belongs to another. They said that I did such a great job, but I know that she did it, but he said it. I'm not going to correct it. That's stealing the credit that is deserved for somebody else. How about identity theft? Yeah, I know none of you are trolling the internet to try to steal somebody's identity. Maybe you are. Identity theft can happen in different ways. And I'm sure some of us may have done it. Identity theft can come through gossip. A false report can steal a person's good name and reputation, causing great pain and sorrow. Now, please hear me. When I said that we live in a culture that creates an entitled reality, some, not all, sometimes in our welfare states and unemployments and disabilities, some can use that as a type of stealing. They're not willing to work, they don't want to work, and the government pays them, and they choose to stay in that reality. 1 Timothy chapter 5, Paul talks about a widow's list to Timothy, and he says, here are the people to put on the widow's list. Now you might think, well, a widow's list is a widow's list. And he says, no, not all widows are equal. If a widow, he says, is young, she should not be put on the widow's list, meaning those that the church will provide for. If the widow is young, she should get married again, or she should work. If the widow has family, let the family first provide before the church. But if she's a true widow who trusts and relies on God and has no other means, she's to be put on the widow's list. And so even within the glorious giving or welfare, if you want, of the church, there are still those that he says, wait a second, don't do that. And sometimes by our laziness and not working, we can actually rely on other people. My mom's favorite verse for me, she should have made it a t-shirt. Look to the ant, you sluggard. Those were high school days. Get up and work. There's workplace robbery, isn't there? The biggest workplace robbery now is this, time. People steal time. And according to an article, here's the different ways that people steal time. They fudge their timesheets. They have a friend punch in for them even though they're going to be late. They take long lunches and extended breaks when they're being paid. They goof off with coworkers when they should be working. They waste time on the internet for non-work purposes. All of that is stealing. They play hide and seek. They go to the bathroom and then never return because they just go and take a nap somewhere and then they come back. And those things happen all around us, and maybe some of us have done those inadvertently. And we've made justifications for that. Many can be enticing and tempting if we're lacking contentment and trust in the Lord. But Paul goes on, he says, not just don't steal, become aware of the ways that you might be stealing, but then he says, go on and work hard, but rather let him who has been stealing, let him labor doing honest work with his own hands. And so instead of stealing, he says, work and work hard. And I want to suggest to you that one of the reasons we steal is actually we can actually steal by not working to the glory of God. What do I mean by that? Because we don't have a good understanding that work is a God-given reality for us. That God is glorified in work. We always look at work as, I can't wait to get off of work. But I want to suggest to you that God intends for us to work, and it is not a part of the fall, but it's a pre-fall reality. Genesis chapter 2, it says that after God had created everything, he planted a garden, and he put man in there to tend the garden. That man was called to work. And why was he called to work? Because man is called to work because he's created in the image of God. And when man works hard and honestly, he mimics God to his glory. And when we do not work, or when we are lazy, we are actually robbing and stealing from God his glory as well. And so we recognize that even God, it says, on the Sabbath, he rested from what? He rested from his work of creation. That work is actually a godly reality before the fall. Now we recognize and realize that work is made hard because of the fall. Thorns and thistles arise, and we work by the sweat of our brow. But we are called to not give in to the fall, because that's when we begin to steal. Instead, we're called to fight against the fall and to work as God did with purpose. So let me ask you a couple questions. We need to reevaluate our understanding and our view of work. I fear for the younger generations who have lost a sense of identity, who have gained a sense of entitlement, and have sinful and faulty view of work. And because of that, they've lost sight of the glory of work, because they've lost sight of God within their work. An article that I read in preparation for the sermon said that the average person, 21 through 35 male, is now working, before it was 8% of those people, 21 to 31 male, were not working in 2000. Now it's double that amount. And then they went on to say why. And please hear me, I'm not saying that this is evil or wrong always, but most of it's because those men are playing video games. They're spending time on the computer. How much? On average, a male will spend 562 hours a year, 13 work weeks, 40-hour work weeks, 24 hours a day on the computer. 67% of that is playing games. And in the greatest generation, that same age, we're storming the beaches at Normandy. And now we play games. And we don't work because we think that work is wrong. We think that work is evil, and it is not. Paul says this in Colossians chapter 3, bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters. Listen to this. Not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but with the sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. And this passage is not simply talking about ministry. It's actually talking about servants or slaves with their masters. So let me ask you a couple questions even about your work, adults. Do you see your work actually as a gift from God? Otherwise, you will always see it as drudgery. Do you see your abilities, your talents, your strength as God's grace to you? Given to you so that you may bring honor and glory, not to yourself, but to God. Do you come home from work tired, but thankful? Thankful that you are tired because God gave you life today and breath and ability and provided you with work. Do you work with a thankful heart, cheerfully as unto the Lord? Or do you hate the work that God, in His grace, has given you the strength to do for His glory? See, stealing is not just not working and taking from someone else. Working in a way that is dishonoring to God is stealing from God and His glory. And then finally, we're to work with a purpose. And notice the purpose. The purpose is giving. So that He may have something to share with another in need. So Paul goes from stealing to giving with generosity. And notice what Paul says. He says a couple things here. There are those who are in a real, legitimate need. And so they have needs, and we should provide for them. So it's not a matter that nobody should have needs and nobody should ask. There are people with legitimate need. But also he says that the redeemed, we have the joy of mimicking God, not only in our work, but in our giving. That we can give to those in need. And as we do that, we mimic God. Meaning, like a child mimics an adult that he admires, we, by doing what God does in a greater way, we find joy in God. See, this isn't about do's or don'ts. This is actually about the gospel transformation of the heart. And so some of you might be stealing and you just need to stop. Some of you might curse your work and say, I hate it. And you need to stop. Because God's providence and His provision comes to you through life and work. Because He has been pleased to give. And then some of you need to be transformed from taking to working hard and to seeing God's provision, and with thanksgiving to give. See, from here to there, it's not just, pastor said, do it. I got to do it now, so I got to stop doing this, and I got to start doing. It's a transformation of the heart through the gospel. And brothers and sisters, wherever you are in that spectrum, our heart needs to be changed. Because God wants to be glorified in our stopping, and in our working hard, and in our giving generously. See, it's not about do's and don'ts. It's about a heart transplant. It's about transformation. The larger passage says that we're to take off and we're to put on. Take off the old self and put on the new self. It's very practical that this is about not just stealing, but working hard, but giving. It's about trusting God to provide. It's about working as God worked to a better understanding of Him. It is about going from stealing to giving because God has given us an understanding of where He is in the whole process. Let me ask you a couple of application questions. Do you recognize that your pay is not just from your employer, but it's from God? It is God who gave you life and breath and strength to work, so therefore it's God who gave you the ability to earn and the money you have. Are you thankful to God, and do you find contentment in what he has given you as an earning through work? Or do you always complain that someone else has more than you? Because it's from God, are you wise in your spending through budgeting to recognize that God is the one who's provided and he will meet your needs through it? Do you have a thankful heart for the richness of God's grace and goodness to you? If you don't, you'll never give. And are you a person who, out of the riches of God's grace, gives freely to others through tithes and offerings and gifts in order to mimic God to his glory? And then are you looking for ways today to bless others through giving, that you may know more fully the joy of the Lord in life? Articles have suggested that in the United States of America, in bygone generations, that giving to the church and to charities was greatest when there was depression and recession. Why? Because a thankful people with a thankful heart in the midst of profound depression and recession recognized that it was God who granted them the ability to work, and all that they have gave graciously out of their want because they recognized God. And brothers and sisters, God is so good. He is so gracious. He gives us every breath and every opportunity and every place we work to bring him glory. Let's do so that we have purpose in him to give to his glory. Let's pray. Father, would you turn our eyes to you that we may recognize that all that we have is from your hand. Father, as we think of the offerings that we have given this day, sometimes we just quickly write a check and we don't think about it. We don't think about our giving. And Father, I'm thankful that we don't pass the plate, but I do pray that we would think about our giving. And we would give with thankfulness and generous hearts, with recognition of your goodness to us and in praise to you. And we would receive those offerings as a church and give you praise as well. So, Father, change our attitudes, for we live in a culture of entitlement. We live in a culture that cries out injustice but looks to the hand of man and not to God. We are encouraged to look at others and envy, to bring them down, never to build up. We live in a culture that has lost sight of God, that has become evil and hoards. And Lord, whether it's in the want or in the hoarding, often we've lost sight of God. As your church, fix our eyes on Jesus, so that all that we do, all that we have, and all that we give is a recognition of you and given in thanksgiving. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.